So we're quite early for this time in the service, and that means I get to give two drashot instead of one, because otherwise we're going to have a timing problem, since Cantor Gold is not here on this Shabbat, and Cantor Brown is in Torah in the Round with a bat mitzvah, and she has to make it here in time for Musaf, and if we do Musaf a half an hour early, then yes, we're going to have a problem. So you have no idea how complicated the life of a rabbi really is, the timing, and I keep looking at my watch. But here's what I was going to originally say, and then I'll tell you what I'm going to say to the bat mitzvah when I go in there. So two drashas for the price of one. They're both very short, but I will try to drag them out a little. The first is that you know, and it comes from this parsha, that a kohen is not supposed to go where? Into a cemetery. And it's one of those things, and there are a lot of them in Jewish life, that even people who don't observe other things observe this. Maybe they don't keep kosher, maybe they don't keep Shabbat, but you bring them, if they're Kohanim, to a cemetery and they won't walk in. Which is an interesting thing, because we find out this morning, of course, why it is that a Kohen is not allowed to go to a cemetery except for an immediate relative. Not a relative by marriage, except a spouse, but children, parents, but no one beyond that. And the reason is that you want to be in a state of purity in case the temple is rebuilt. Which means that every time a Kohen does not go into a graveyard, it's a way of saying the temple might be rebuilt tomorrow, and I want to be ready to do service in the temple. Now, in some ways, that's a beautiful idea. In other ways, it's amazing that a custom is so strong based on something that is so improbable. Right? And I say it's improbable only because it's been a couple thousand years now, so the odds that the temple are going to be rebuilt tomorrow have to be fairly small, mathematically speaking. But still, and it reminds me of something very beautiful that one of my teachers, Rabbi Henry Fisher, Olav Shalom, once taught me when I was it's already when I was on the staff of the AJU, what's now the AJU, American Jewish University. I was at the time, I had just published my first book and I was flying around the country a lot. And one day I came back to AJU and Rabbi Fisher asked me where I'd been. And I said I had been somewhere I was in New York, I was in Philadelphia, somewhere on the East Coast. And he said, did you change your watch? And I said, no, I didn't, because I was only there for 2 days. He said, so you didn't change your watch because you knew you were coming right back. I said, exactly. He said, you know, when we pray in the Amidah, Mashiv HaRuach U'Morid HaGashem, may the winds blow and the rains fall. He said, we pray for that not when we need wind and rain in Los Angeles or Babylonia or Paris or anywhere else the Jews have lived. We pray for it when we need it in Israel. And the reason is that the Jews never reset their clocks. They still lived according to the calendar of Israel because, like you, they knew they'd be coming right back. Which is a really beautiful observation, and I never forgot it. And every time I travel now, when I don't change my watch, I think of Rabbi Fisher. And it's the same thing with the Kohen not going into the graveyard. It's the expectation that at any moment we'll be called back because the temple will be rebuilt, and you want to be ready. You want to have your clock set, and you want to have your Kohanim on the ready so that they can continue in the Beit HaMikdash. That's Drash 1. I was going to finish there, but since I have a few minutes and I'm going into the Torah in the Round in a little while to talk to the bat mitzvah, let me tell you what I'm going to tell her. Because why waste the drash and only use it in one service when you can use it in two? You know, it's the law of conservation of drashot. You have to use them as many times as possible. I just learned, I think I had read this, it rings a vague bell, but I didn't remember, from this book, Me'otzreinu HaYashan, that Rabbi Landau points out, which lived a couple hundred years ago, points out that when the Torah portion today talks about all the different holidays, it only uses the phrase Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, on this very day, with regard to two holidays. One is Shavuot, and the other is Yom Kippur. And so he asks himself why. And this is his answer. He said all the other holidays are essentially historical holidays. He said, Passover, it's true, we remember the liberation from Egypt, and even though we say you should feel as if you were liberated, you're not actually liberated every Passover. You're just not. You don't recreate. You try to recreate the experience, but it's not the same thing. Sukkot, we dwell in booths as if we were dwelling in booths in the desert, but we're not dwelling in booths in the desert. We're doing an imitation of that, but it's not the same thing. But Yom Kippur, which is about repenting for your sins, you have to do on Yom Kippur, Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh. And Shavuot, which we're approaching, which is when the Israelites received the Torah, you actually have to receive the Torah on that day. If you don't, then you don't have Torah. So unlike all the other holidays, you have to actually perform the action on the holiday that it's called for, and that's why Shavuot and Yom Kippur are Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, which is a really beautiful observation about the way in which Judaism takes the past and makes it present. That we understand that there are certain things where you literally go through the same experience. And that's why on Shavuot, what's the custom? It's to stay up and study Torah, because you literally receive the Torah on that day. And of course, on Yom Kippur, you do exactly what it is that Ralph just read in the Torah portion, Va'anitem et nafshotechem, you afflict your soul. So that's why he says, it says Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, which is a very beautiful idea, and it seems to me also what a Bar Bat Mitzvah should do, right? Be'etzem HaYom HaZeh, on this very day, and God willing for every day of the Bar Bat Mitzvah's life, you assume the obligation of the commandments. That's not something you do once, it's something that you have to do every single day. And so, with that, I'm going to invite everyone to please come in.